We're doing the Ein Yaakov. We're up to page Mimches in the Talmud, which is in the standard Ein Yaakov editions. It's Ein Ches Amit Beis. On the top right, it says 156. We're up to the first wide line. Rabbi Meir Omer. Rabbi Meir says, Minayin shekshem shemvarech al hatova, kach mevarech al hara'a. How do we know that the same way a person gives thanks, gives praise when good things happen, he also has to give praise and recognition that God is running the world when bad things happen? Talmud Lomar, that's what the verse says, you will bless Hashem over the earth, Asher Natan Lecha, that God has given you. Why does the verse have to point out that God has given you? There is another thought being alluded to by the verse. Asher Natan Lecha, Hashem Elokecha, that Hashem, your God, has given you, is alluding to the idea, Dayancha, your judge, that's God. Bechol din shedancha, be it any judgment that he judges you, ben midat tova or ben midat puranut, be it for good or for bad, one has to be able to give praise, Hashem, you're the honest judge, and I praise you whatever the outcome is. So that's a high level. It's not easy. Notice that we do call it hara'a, the bad, meaning from our perspective, some things are bad. There's no two ways about it. People say, well, everything's for good. Yeah, we don't see that. God sees that. Moshe sees a baby being put into the mortar. What Moshe sees is a baby being killed. God sees that if that baby were to live, it would be to his own detriment and other people's detriment. God sees into the future. We don't see. We don't understand. From our perspective, that's a bad thing. So we pray from our perspective. We recognize that our perspective is limited. There is a greater perspective. But what we say is from our perspective. We don't say the same blessing over good things and bad things, right? One is a blessing of praise and thanks. Another one is a blessing of God. I know you're true. I know you're just. And I know what you're doing is right. You want me to explain it? I can't explain it. I don't understand it. But I trust. I know you're doing what's right. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira Omer, I don't need that verse to teach me that. Hare hu omer, tova ha-tova, tova zot Torah, v'chen omer, kilekach tov natati lachem, ha-tova zot binyan Yerushalayim, v'chen omer, ha-ratov. He's going back on what we said earlier. What's the source for including in the blessing Torah and Yerushalayim? So he says, ha-aretz ha-tova encompasses these two concepts. Now we're up to the next Mishnah. Ketzad mezamnin, when we want to gather together and make a blessing together, and we discussed a few weeks ago this idea of zimun, begimel, when you have three people in unison making the zimun, omer nevarech, you say, rabotai nevarech, gentlemen, let us bench, and then that person leads the benching, and everyone listens and just answers amen, as we discussed that in ancient times, that's the way zimun used to work. One person would do the zimun and the whole blessing, and everyone else would just listen and answer amen. Now, our Mishnah, it teaches us a new concept. What happens if there are three plus the one who's leading the zimun? So then he says, gentlemen, you guys bless. Meaning he's going to say the blessing. You guys be focused to the blessing because we're going to do it together. Begimel vehu. If there are three people plus him, omer, then what he says is, baruch hu, gentlemen, you make the blessing. And the rest of the parentheses will skip. Amar Shmuel taught, we don't go like this opinion in the Mishnah. A person should never take himself out of the congregation. We're up to the next page, and we're going to the second paragraph. So, this concept we have in the Agadah, on Pesach, what's the hallmark of the wicked son? That he speaks about all of Judaism as an outsider. And by us, one of the key points is that we're not outsiders. We're all together. And that's a very key point, to be part of the cloud, to be one with everyone else. This concept is taught to us on a fast day. It says, even if a person has it good, he shouldn't say, I'm okay, so what, everyone else needs rain? I have no problem. I have ponds of water, I have enough water to last me 10 years. I don't need this rain. I'm fine. No, the Talmud tells us, that when the congregation is in a time of need, everyone has to participate. And every one of us has the angels that accompany him. And if a person does not, if a person goes home and says, Shalom Aleich Nafshi, everything's good by me, I'm not worried. So then the angels that accompany a person put their hands on his head and they say, so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, he did not partake of the needs of the congregation. He should not merit to see when everything works itself out. But if he does partake in their time of need, so then the angels bless him. If he partook of their need, he should merit to see when things come out good. So this concept is a critical concept in Judaism. We're always a part of the greater whole. Yes?
So right now some of the Ashkenazi posts want us to pray for rain.
We do?
So why is this not like fast days? He said like on Thursday it's supposed to be like a fast day. I forgot which day. So why is this not being like widely recognized as an official thing for Am Yisrael to take upon themselves?
So that's a more general question, but the most basic answer to that is that there are levels in the fast days, meaning the Mishnah and Tanis tells us that when we do not have rain, then the first step is that the pious ones fast, and that's what the rabbinate put out in their letter. Those who feel worthy, the more pious people, should take upon themselves to fast. Some should fast a half a day, some should fast a whole day. The idea is that initially, not everyone starts fasting. The Mishnah says we begin by letting those who are on a higher level fast. And then, hopefully, we get answered. And if not, then more people partake of the fasts. So that's the most basic answer. There's more to be said. We say, when we go up to the Torah, we say, Baruchu et Hashem, you should all bless God. Isn't that putting me out of the congregation? I say, you should bless. So the answer is, because I conclude and say, Hamvorach, who is blessed, I'm already indicating that I'm with you on this. If I would just say, Baruchu et Hashem, you guys bless God, I'm indicating you but not me. The second I say, Baruchu et Hashem, Hamvorach, you bless God who is blessed, I've already re-included myself in the congregation. The Gemara continues, "Mibirchotav shel adam nikar im talmid chacham u'im lo." From a person's blessings, you could recognize if he is learned or not. Keitzad, how so? Rebbe omer, Rebbe says, "Uvtuvo hareze talmid chacham, u'mituvo hareze bur." When a person says, Uvtuvo chayinu, in his good we live, that's a Talmid Chacham. Umituvo, and from his good we receive, that's an indication like he's not giving us a lot, that's a boor, it's as though he's saying that God isn't giving me as much as I'd like. He's giving me from his good. Amar le abai le ravdimi, v'aktiv umibirchatai yevurach beit avdecha leolam. But in the prophet we find that the blessing goes, and from your blessing, God, may your servant be blessed forever. So you see, he does describe it as from God's blessings, seemingly indicating he didn't get everything. Answers the Gemara, b'sheila shani. If a person's making the request, if he isn't giving thanks for what he received, they're two different things. If you're asking, so then a person should always ask, like he doesn't deserve it, like he's not making great demands. So he says, please give me from your blessings, God. That's okay. But if after you're eating, you're saying, God, thank you for what you've given me, so then you have to treat it as though you've given me everything. When a person gives thanks, very often it's like, thanks. It's like an afterthought. It's like, we always put down what we receive. We think highly of what we give, and we think lowly of what we receive. That's the way we all are. So when we give thanks, then we should show the greatest appreciation, and we should say, uvituvo, from his good. His good is what we live in, not from his good, an indication like we've only gotten part of what we'd like. B'sheila nami aktiv achev picha ba'amaleu. Wait a second, but it says that God told us, ask as much as you want, I'll give it, so why don't we ask for everything? Answers the Gemara, ha'ub divrei Torah aktiv. That's talking about Torah. When it comes to Torah, then you have to strive for everything. You have to ask God, let me be the greatest Torah giant in the world. When it comes to worldly things, then when we make requests, we ask modestly. But Torah is something which is, on the one hand, we need God's help to attain it, but on the other hand, God also wants us to attain it. It's not something physical, it's spiritual. On Torah, Hashem says, ask as much as you want, I'll give it. So it's two different rules in making requests. For worldly things, we ask modestly, we ask small amounts. For spiritual things, we try for the maximum. Tanu Rabbanan, we have the following braisa. We're in the first wide line. Dalei dvarim nemru bepat. Four things were said about bread. En manichim basar chai al hapat. You don't take raw meat and put it down on the bread. Yeah? That's going to make it disgusting. Raw meat on the bread. En mavirin kos male al hapat. You don't put a full cup over the bread, because everyone always does that. They fill their coffee and the water and the milk, and then it's like at the top, and they're sure that they're going to make it to their place in the Beis Medrash without spilling. And the person pours a cup of wine, and he fills it to the top, and he's sure he's not going to spill. And we all know what happens. There always drips all around the hot water thing in the coffee room. No one makes it there without spilling. So the Mishnah tells us, don't pass a full cup over the bread, because if it drips, you're stomach disgracing the bread. Ben zorkin et hapat, we don't throw bread. It's a disrespectful way of dealing with it. It could fall and get dirty. Ben zorkin takara bepat, and you don't lean the bowl on the bread. Let's say you have a bowl that's supposed to have three legs. One of the legs broke off, so it's wobbly on the table. You don't put a slice of bread under it to support it.
What about motzi from Shabbos?
That what?
No, that's why. I mean, I've seen people throw bread.
So the Chabad, they have a custom that on Shabbos alone, they throw the bread. They say that, that's a different thing. Chabad say that being that the bread of Shabbos, the Lechem Mishnah, the two loaves of bread, are corresponding to the double portion of man that we received in the desert, so they have a custom that they throw the bread, so then it's commemorating that the bread fell down from heaven. So they purposely throw the bread around the table to each one. That's the only time of the week they'll throw bread. They won't do it any other meal. That's their custom. That's what I was told when I was a guest by Chabad and they threw bread at me. But there's another custom, and that is that when we pass the bread, we don't pass it from hand to hand. We put it down on the table and the person picks it up. That's a different custom. There's nothing wrong with that as far as what the Gemara said. Ameimar u'malzutra v'ravashi karichu rifta ba'dei adadi. Ameimar, Mazutra, and Ravashi, they were all having a meal together. Aituk lekamayu tamre verimoni. They brought before them dates and pomegranates. Shakal marzutra patak lekamed ravashi distena. So marzutra took a portion that was ripe, that was fully cooked, and he threw it to ravashi. Amalelo saval amar ladetani ani mizrakin tochlin. So he asked him, wait a second, Rabbi. Don't you hold what we just learned, that you don't throw food? Ha'ibi patanya. He said to him, that said about bread. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Vatanya kishem shen zokin tepat, kachin mizokin tochlin. We have a braisa that says, just like you don't throw bread, you don't throw any other food. Amale vatanya afalpi shen mizokin tepat, mizokin tochlin. But we have another braisa that says, only bread is prohibited from throwing. You could throw other food. So which way is it? One braisa says you can't throw any other food either. The other braisa says it's only bread you shouldn't throw, but other food is permissible. Lo kasha, the Gemara says it's not really a contradiction. Ha b'midi de mimis, ha b'midi de lo mimis. It depends. If it's a pomegranate in a peel, and when you throw it, if it falls on the ground, it won't get disgusting because it has a peel that you're going to peel anyways. So then you could throw it because it won't get disgusting. You want to throw someone a peanut in its shell, that's okay. It won't get disgusting. If you're going to take a slice of bread, if that falls in the mud, no one's going to want to eat it. If you're going to take a piece of meat, if that falls on the floor, people will be disgusted. They won't want to eat it. So that's prohibited from throwing. The question is, can the food get soiled from being tossed? Right.
It's okay.
Right, that's what the Gemara says. Tanu Rabbanan, we have the following braisa. Mamshichin yain betzinorot. They used to have the following procession. They'd have like trumpets that went up, these big fat straws, and inside they'd have wine, and they'd blow inside, and then you'd have like a sprinkle system of wine, and they'd catch it in another vessel, and they'd walk like that in front of the chasam and kala, and they'd be blowing this like a rainbow of wine. In front of the chasan and kala, and that was supposed to be a good sign. When the chasan and kala would walk towards their marriage ceremony, people would walk before them, blowing out the wine, and you'd have this stream of wine that kept going around in front of the chasan and kala. And they used to throw before the chasan and kala different types of roasted kernels and nuts in the shell, Bimot hachama, only in the summer. Avalo bimot hagshamim, but not in the winter when everything's muddy. Avalo gluskot, but you don't throw nice loaves of bread. Lo bimot hachama, avalo bimot hagshamim. Not in the summer nor in the winter, because loaves of bread, if they fall down, they'll get disgusting. So here you have a source for our custom that we throw candy, right? They used to throw things, and this was considered a good sign for the couple. So as far as this concept of not causing food to be disgraced, so we say, so long as it's in a shell, or so long as it's the dry season and people are going to pick it up and eat it, so that's okay. Tanu Rabbanan, huh? The wine they used to catch. They'd blow it out of this and catch it in another vessel. I guess they drink it in then. I assume they'd have the guy who was blowing it eventually would drink it. I assume so. If I were blowing it, I'd want to drink it. Eh? Okay. Well, it's supposed to be nice. The chassan's walking and he has the stream of wine flowing before him. There's depth as to why this is the good custom. What does wine represent? Wine represents the secrets, the good that's within. Wine is something that you don't see on the outside. The home is something that you don't see the beauty of the home on the outside. Wine is representative of sod. Yain and sod have the same numerical value. The wife is called in Tanakh, Eshtecha, sod is secret. Eshtecha ki gefen poriya, the verse in Tehillim refers to the wife as a flourishing grapevine. B'yalketeve techa, but she's in the, so to speak, in the concealed part of the home. She's the treasure of the home. She's the one that produces the blessing of the home, but she's the treasure that's not out. You're not showing it off. Quite the contrary, you're cherishing it. You're keeping it b'yalketeve techa, in the secret, like in the secret rooms of the house, the quiet, modest rooms of the house. So this was their custom. They'd blow the wine before the chasen and kala. And we'll pick up here, Bezlat Shem, next week.